Our scripture lesson today is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, as we continue our action, looking at the dynamic life of the church then and now. In chapter 2, which we'll actually get back to eventually, but when the Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came, and then at the end of chapter 2, what Luke does is he kind of summarizes, this is what the life of the early church was like. And among other things was the fact that there were many miracles taking place. We get to chapter 3, our text, and Luke highlights one of those miracles. Not only because this miracle was a very public miracle, witnessed by so many, but also because it set in an order, kind of a chain of events that not only advanced the gospel, but also brought the first strong opposition to the gospel. But what I want us to see is in the healing of this lame man, there is actually more than one type of healing that occurs. And that has significance for us personally, like I think we just witnessed, but also for our ministry in the name of Jesus to others. So let's hear God's word. I'll read it. Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. May we be filled with wonder and amazement as well. You know, there are some times things happen in our life that are in and of themselves kind of really inconsequential, tiny little things, but somehow they get marked in our minds. And I recall a time that Jeanette and I, we had a few days off, this was years ago, and we were doing the Cascade Loop. And in the morning, we had stayed overnight at Winthrop, and in the morning we were driving west on Highway 20. And as we were going along, up ahead, I could see a man, but I couldn't quite figure out what was happening because I could only see him from the knees on up. And he was right kind of by the side of the road at the edge of a driveway. And I thought, is he kneeling and praying, or is he standing at something, or has he a double amputee from his knees? I was just curious. So as I was driving, keeping my eyes on the road too, but I was kind of watching this guy. And as we drew abreast, I saw that he was indeed standing in a ditch. He was doing some work there, and that's why I could only see him from the knees on up. And as we passed on by, Jeanette made a comment. She said, "Wow, that house sure had a very different architecture, didn't it?" And I said, "Was there a house? I was watching that man trying to figure out what was going on." And she said, "Was there a man?" And that whole incident just struck in my mind because I thought, wow, here we were right in the same car observing basically the same setting, and yet we had completely different perspectives of what we were looking at. And we each missed what the other one was seeing. On January 1st, we were back in North Carolina on our vacation back with Sondra and her family. And so January 1st was a Sunday, and we attended their church, Christ Community Church in Montreat. And the pastor that morning was talking about, from his experience, he said, we often hear timing is everything. He says, from my experience, I would say perspective is everything. It beats timing every time. And that stuck with me. Perspective is everything. Well, I'd like to modify what he said, because I think he had a very good point. But I think it's both. And as we look at this text, I think it's both. Timing is everything, and perspective is everything. We've been seeing the last 2 weeks how, as followers of Christ, we are led by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to trust His timing. And we've talked about this before, the amazing, quote, coincidences that happen in our life that we see later. Oh, that was the hand of God, His timing. But we also talk about perspective. We want to see now through the lens of the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding of Scripture and seeing things from God's perspective. I read that word earlier from 2 Corinthians 5. We no longer see things as the world does. But we now see from the perspective of being new people in Christ. We see both here. Think about perspective. As Peter and John are walking into the temple, it's at the Gate Beautiful. Now, the Gate Beautiful was one of the main entrances into the temple at Jerusalem. And it's 3 p.m, a key prayer time. So you have throngs of people that are coming in. The scripture tells us that this lame man had been lame from birth. And we know from chapter 4, he's 40 years old. So a day at the office for this lame man is being taken to this Gate Beautiful and begging for alms. And meanwhile, here's Peter and John coming. And it's, by the way, it's interesting that they come as a pair. Remember in Jesus, in his ministry, he would send the disciples out in teams. And we see that often in Acts. They, in the missionary journeys, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't go by themselves. They would go in as a team. And so often our ministry, effective ministry, is in teams. We pray in teams, and like we just did already. Now, it's not that the Lord can't use us individually. He does, and He will, when we're out at work or wherever we might be. But so often ministry, effective ministry, is done in teams because people have different giftings. So here they are, Peter and John. Now, their perspective is they are still just enamored with this relatively new empowerment of the Spirit, faith in Christ. They're coming into the temple to praise Him. And meanwhile, here is this lame man, and he's in survival mode. That's his perspective. If I can just get enough alms, just enough money to make it through another day. Very different perspective. And one of the ways we see their different perspective is how they look at each other. Notice in verse 3, the lame man saw Peter and John coming. So he sees them. But he doesn't keep looking at them. He apparently puts his head down because once Peter and John stop in front of him, Peter has to say, look at us. Yeah, raise your head. Let's make eye contact. Look at us. The gospel is very personal. And it calls people to take a fresh look at their lives through who Jesus is. Look at us. Because in looking at Peter and John, it's their desire that this man see Jesus. Look at us. People are crippled in many ways, not just like this lame man where his legs didn't work. People are crippled even when their legs can be very good, but they're crippled with wounds that they've endured in life, emotional, spiritual wounds that hamper them in their relationships, hamper them in their view of themselves and God. And these wounds often are from early on, and they may involve sinful actions against them, maybe abuse, or in their own sinful choices they've made. But however they've come about, people get crippled in their hearts. And Jesus is the one who heals and makes straight. So Peter says, look at us. And the man does look. He looks at them. But of course, his perspective is still skewed. He can only think in the framework of, okay, maybe I'm going to get some more money here. Maybe it's a big payday or something like that. And there's another lesson here. Until and unless people have genuinely tasted who Jesus Christ is, felt the weight of their guilt and sin lifted in the light of His love and forgiveness until people have really experienced who Jesus really is, they're going to be deceived by their own hearts and by Satan to think that things of the world have more to offer. So at this point, before Peter prays for him, this man, he's just thinking money. I was thinking about this. I have a sister-in-law, Becky. She's married to my younger brother. Years ago, decades ago, by God's grace, she put her faith in Jesus Christ. And she, I'm sure, has been praying for her family. But to this day, as far as we know, she's the only person in her side of the family that's a follower of Christ. And we've known Becky long enough and have met different family members. We have seen how they are still crippled like this lame man, assuming that the things of the world will give them what they want. And we are aware, knowing about their lives and their stories, of how disappointed they are again and again because they haven't seen the light of the glory of Jesus Christ. Becky does. So even in her challenges, and like right now going through cancer therapy, I mean, she's still full of joy of the Lord. She came to our last river service and we prayed with her. And again, just the confidence and hope that she has in Christ. It's a whole different perspective than the rest of her family has. Until people come to know who Jesus really is, they're not going to understand what makes us tick. You know, why we see things differently than they do. But once we come to Christ, and once we see the integrity and truth of God's Word, we have a whole different perspective. Well, Peter and John say, look at us. And he does look. And then they pray. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ. We've had a lot about the name of Jesus this morning. We've been singing songs about His name. And it's because this represents His power, His authority, expressed through the lives of His followers. And so, you know, Peter and John, they have no ability to heal anyone, but Jesus does. So they say, in the name of Jesus, walk. And then Peter grabs the guy's hands, helps him up, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, a miracle occurs. Probably electricity just going through his legs, and he's able to walk. We give to people only what God first gives to us. That's what Peter said. We don't have any silver or gold to give you, but we will give you what we have. And wherever we are, God puts around us particular people to pray for. We give them what we have, starting with prayer. We talked about that in our generations this morning. We pray for those around us. But then we look and wait for those opportunities when we might be able to bear witness to them. We give them what we have. And that's what Peter and John did. Now, this man was not only touched physically, but we can see that there was a transformation within as well. As he not only got this the use of his legs, but then he didn't just walk away, thanks, by the way. But no, he went leaping and praising God into the temple courts. No longer ashamed and hanging his head, he now is praising God. And talk about a perspective shift. As we see in verses 9 and 10, the people are kind of going, you know, they recognize this is the guy who for year after year has been at Gate Beautiful, lame. And now he is jumping like a pogo stick around the temple. You know, what in the world is going on? And because their perspective is being altered, it opens their hearts. And in the rest of chapter 3, Peter preaches a sermon and calls people to repent of their sin, and many come to faith. Their eyes are open. Now, I just imagine this with me for a moment, because it's the imagination game. Suppose a month after this happened, someone came up to this lame man and posed him this question. Hey, by the way, back a month ago when you got use of your legs through this Jesus, suppose Peter and John had instead offered you a year's worth of wages so you didn't even have to beg for a long time. Would you have rather have had that? My guess is that guy would have said no, even though he probably a month later was still pretty poor. He said, I'm not going to trade what I have now for anything because I know who Jesus is and he's healed me. You know, perspective is everything. But so is timing. So is timing. Consider this. In the pages of Scripture, Jesus, in his 3 years of ministry, we know from the Gospels, visited Jerusalem on different occasions. It is very likely that Jesus passed by this lame man maybe more than once. And Jesus healed many people, never stopped to heal this man. Now, Scripture says that Jesus always did what the Father showed him to do. So in the Father's timing, it was never time for the Son to stop and to heal this lame man. Now, consider further this. Peter and John have been living in Jerusalem and probably many, many times have passed by this man before. In fact, my guess, just reading between the lines, they probably have given alms to this guy before. Because when he saw them coming, he asked for money. He's kind of like, oh, hey, these guys have they've given before. But never had they stopped to pray for this man for healing. Isn't that interesting? Jesus didn't. Peter and John, up to this point, have. Why now? Some of you know this, but in the Greek, there's two different words for time. One is chronos, which we get chronology, like that's time of quantity, hour, day, month, year. But the other word is kairos, which is time of quality. It has to do with a season or a point where God is brooding and ready to move and inviting people to step in by faith. Kairos moments. They can happen in worship services. They can happen when we're by ourselves and maybe at work and we've been praying for someone and suddenly the time is ripe to give a witness or to say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, they you've maybe been praying for them. They know you're a Christian, but they don't want anything of it. And then one day they come in and say, wow, I've just had a really tough time last night. And you sense, ah, could I pray with you? Yeah, can you please do that? It's a kairos moment. A ripe moment. I think we tasted a little bit of that earlier in this service when we had testimonies. And I just sensed after, you know, Barb and Janice's testimony especially, and just kind of the openness and transparency, it was time just to pray. And thank the Lord, but also recognize, you know, there may be others here wondering, is there hope for me in my situation? And they just testified there's hope. Because this is what Jesus does. So we try to sense timing. Timing is everything. And here it is, the time is ripe. Now what we can, again, only speculate on, how did they know? How did the Holy Spirit make that clear? Was it maybe in a morning prayer time with a bunch of other Christians and maybe there was a prophetic word, you know, be alert today because there's going to be a healing that's going to open the eyes of many people. Maybe not. Or maybe it was right at that point when the lame man first looked at them asking for alms and Peter began sensing in his a stirring in his heart and then stopped and realized that the Spirit was saying to him, I want you to pray for this man's healing. We don't know. Except that the Holy Spirit somehow made it clear, now is the time to pray for this man. It's not time to give him alms. It's time for prayer. Kairos moment. And when they are there, we take steps of faith into it to allow God to do what he's going to do. A week ago Saturday, at the end of our Ignite conference down at Columbia Presbyterian Church in Vancouver, we were in teams up front to inviting people to pray. If they had a need or wanted to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for some ministry in their life, we invited them to come up, and some different people came up. One person that came up to the team, my team, was a man I'll call Marvin. I've known him through the years at some other PRMI events. About 8 or 9 years ago, Marvin was a cripple. Well, his legs worked fine, but it was before he knew Jesus Christ. And through just his growing up and some of the deep wounds he had experienced of rejection and other things, he was a cripple in the terms he was devoted to alcoholic. Now, he had some people that had been sharing with him about Jesus. And I don't know the full story here with Marvin's situation, but at some point, there was a Kairos moment when the light came on and Marvin realized, I can't run my life. I've got to surrender to Christ. So he turned his life over to Jesus Christ, went through a treatment center, became sober. So he's been sober about 8 or 9 years. And the neat thing about Marvin is he keeps growing in his faith. And he's come out of a lot of healing, this inner healing, from his addictions, his rejection, and knowing his love, the Lord's love for him, to where he is now ministering to many people. He's like an evangelist. I mean, he brings many to Christ. But he came up because he's in a new season, and he felt a Kairos moment in his life. Because Marvin has been for a few months now dating this woman. And Marvin shared with the team I was with that, you know, before he became a Christian, he had had relationships with several women that were not honoring to God, not honoring to them, you know, fellow addicts. And he thought, you know, this is my first time now being in a relationship where I want to honor God and honor the woman that I'm dating. And I want the power of the Holy Spirit to do this in a way that honors God, honors my Lord. And so we were glad to pray for him. He says, this is a Kairos moment in my life. I haven't been this way before walking with Jesus. I need his empowerment. And his healing from any of those past residue of how I had responded before in a relationship like this. And I'm trusting that the Lord is empowering him for that. Timing is everything, like perspective is. You know, when we look at this chapter, I see that we are Acts 3, verses 1 to 10. As Christians, we are this passage. And I mean that in the sense that sometimes we are the cripple. We are the ones who, at a certain point in our walk with Christ, the light of the Spirit shines on a part of our life that we need healing from. I had no idea that Barbara was going to share what she just shared in the testimony of what God did to her last weekend. But she even used that. There was a dark spot in her heart that's been there. But in God's grace and timing, the light was shining and saying, okay, I want to deal with this and bring healing, restoration. And that's because even though, and we know Barbara and we know Janice and all of it, very mature Christians, very fruitful, but we're still at times needing that healing. So at times we are that lame man and we need to look to Jesus, look to him and let him bring that healing work. That's that sanctifying work of the Spirit we've talked about. At other times, we're going to be Peter and John. We're going to be the vessels that God works through to reach out and touch others. We are in those Kairos moments at work or in a store or wherever we might be in a worship service where we are going to sense that the Lord wants us to touch someone else with the love of Christ. It may be to pray for them, to do some act of kindness, to talk with them, listen to them, whatever it might be. We realize, okay, God has called me. I have an assignment now in the name of Jesus to minister to this person. We become Peter and John. For we are both. Because friends, timing is everything when we walk with the Lord. So is perspective. Let's take a moment and bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've talked before in these last couple of weeks how we are Acts 29. The book of Acts continues until Christ returns with the Holy Spirit inspiring and empowering followers of Christ to bear witness to him in the world. We thank you for that. And we thank you already for the opportunity for the Spirit of God to search our hearts for where there may be hurts and wounds and healing needed. And we continue to pray that. For Lord, as we move forward into this week, you go before us, behind us, you lay your hand upon us according to your word. And if there are areas where we are still shackled, where we are lame, we ask, Lord, for healing. That you would reveal that, because sometimes that lameness is hidden from our eyes, but not from others. So would you reveal that, so that in prayer we can allow you to come and we look to you, Jesus, as the healer. But also we pray, Holy Spirit, you would keep us alert. So as we go about our daily walk with Christ, just like Peter and John, we will be ready to stop when we recognize, oh, you have an assignment for us with this person or this group. It's a Kairos moment. Help us be sensitive and aware of those times. And then by faith to step in, trusting your empowerment. For just as Peter and John could never begin to heal that man, but you could, we cannot begin to transform someone else's life, but you can as you work through us. That's how you choose to do it. We thank you and we make ourselves available to you, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one who is mighty to save in every respect. So receive our praise and our surrender to you. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, everlasting peace, through Christ our Lord. Amen.